Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This show is brought to you by Sledge & Company Financial, LLC. I'm Taylor Sledge, founder and CEO. At Sledge & Company, we help businesses and families do better with their money. Check us out on the web at sledgecompany.com. That's sledgecompany.com.
What's up? Welcome in, everybody, on this Tuesday night, late on this Tuesday night, the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Morton. Just 2 days away from the Hall of Fame game, which, by the way, we learned today that Trey Harris will be participating. Trey Harris, the second-round pick of the Chargers, also their first-round pick, is going to play, and Trey Lance is going to be their quarterback. So there you go. But you're not here to talk about that. You're here to talk about Ole Miss. That is kind of what we do on this very podcast, and we're going to do that tonight. Training camp has begun. What did we learn? Well, there's not really anything to learn from 40 minutes of carefully selected practice that they let the media view, but there is some things to learn, I believe, from what Lane Kiffin had to say today, so I'll play you some audio cuts. There's one phrase in particular that he used that stood out to me today. There's one in particular that stood out to me today. And I'm going to play it for you. And it's short. It's kind of like, I might be overthinking it, to be honest with you guys. I might be overthinking it, but there is a phrase that he used that stood out to me. And I'll tell you why on this edition of the show. My name, again, is Michael Borky. This is the Rebel Report. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search it and subscribe to it. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. And also right here on YouTube, subscribe, leave a like, comment, all that good stuff as well. And this edition is brought to you in part by, there's Maverick, by the way. He looked at you. Maverick just chilling over here on the bed. I've got a new co-host now. He talks less than the other one. But anyway, glad you guys are here. Toyota Brookhaven, that is, look at him. He's not supposed to be on that couch. Like, I already deal with a five-year-old in the house. Now I have a dog that doesn't listen to me. What is this world coming to? But anyway, ToyotaBrookhaven.com. That's the website. Exit 40 in Brookhaven. They will take care of you. New and used vehicles. Great selection of used inventory as well. Look at their website before you go. Even if you don't live in Brookhaven, you want to shop at Toyota Brookhaven because you know they'll take care of you. They've got great in-house financing. Also, a service department that's open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7. So it's one of the highest rated in the state. So they'll take care of you there as well. But check them out, Toyota Brookhaven. They will deliver for you. All right, here's a few things that stood out to me from Lane Kiffin. From the practice perspective, look, I wasn't there. That is the one downside of doing what I do and where I do it. We have 12 stations that cover the entire state. It's awesome, right? The Super Talk Network is incredible and it's powerful, and I'm very thankful to work there. The only downside is that I am based in Jackson and not in Oxford, so I don't get to go very often to things like this. I will be there next week, but it's just not something that I get to do every day. But reading through the practice reports, we were spot on when we talked about it last time. That there's very little to learn, and that's by design. Right. And so the people that cover the team have to give their readers, their subscribers something. But that something always needs to be taken with a grain of salt. You're not going to see any legitimate competition. As we talked about last time, the most important thing you're going to learn is personnel and health. And so, for example, when Lacy is running with the ones at running back, that's noteworthy. Right. There's no doubt about that. Long way to go. Long camp. They very well could give the starting reps to somebody else tomorrow. But that is noteworthy, I think. You got confirmation on the Haz injury. You also got confirmation that Daquan Wright is participating and going through training camp. So that's a good thing. But you always have to be weary, and it's not the fault of the person writing it. Their subscribers are demanding information. But there's just nothing really that you can take, nothing real that you can really take away from this, from a this player's good, this player's bad perspective, especially when it's you read a whole practice report and not a single thing was anything other than good. I promise not everything that happened at practice is good, but when you don't get to see any of it, when a guy's warming up and catching passes and he's an SEC football player, he looks great, you know? So it's very hard. It's hard for the people that are there to cover because, like I said, their subscribers are looking for daily information and it's hard to give it to them without it being really fluffy, to be honest. But if they didn't do it, then their subscribers will be mad at them for not doing it. It's a weird situation that the beat guys find themselves in, having to cover these practices, but not really seeing anything, but expecting people to, people expecting them to give like hardcore information. That's not out there. So what I do because of those two things is I try to listen to coach and player as much as I can. They don't always offer up stuff. Sometimes they just want to get out of there as fast as possible. Jeff Lebby, for example, is the most coach-speaky coach of all time. That's not good or bad. It's just how he is. He offers nothing. Sometimes I think you get a lot of good from Lane Kiffin if you're really willing to listen, and also the players as well. So I have four cuts for you. A couple of them are longer than the other two. But this is the first one, and it's unfortunate that – more than unfortunate. It's tragic that this is how it had to start, but this is how – Lane Kiffin led his press conference today about the loss that his program has suffered and is still, of course, dealing with, and then also at the personal level as well. So here's Lane Kiffin. This is how he opened his press conference today.
You know, first time with you guys since the tragic passing of Corey Adams. And, you know, he was just with us for a short time, but he made a major impact on us by how he worked, who he was, how he led, even as a freshman. I told the story at the service here the other night. You know, very rarely do we ever have a freshman that in off-season conditioning and running was challenging seniors to finish in a standard, and that's who he was. And just a tragic, tragic passing. And obviously, our thoughts and prayers have been with the family and having them up here and spending time with them. You know, but out of respect to them, you know, we won't have any more comments on that. The players, we bumped up a day early. We were able to get a waiver so that they would have Saturday off for his funeral Saturday. You know, kind of on another loss, you know, since seeing you guys. I just really want to thank Ole Miss and Oxford and the people here again, you know, passing my mother and celebration of life last week, and Pastor Fish and how he led that and the passion that he had and how he spoke about her and so many people here, you know, that just would have never guessed that my parents would end up finishing their lives in Oxford, Mississippi. And really, it was an amazing time, you know, to have my brother here and the grandkids here for both of them for the last few years was very special. But the people of Oxford were just amazing again. So just want to thank everybody, especially Pastor Fish, for that.
So first of all, that was well said from Lane Kiffin there. That was the first time that we have heard from him since tragedy struck his program. And it's just, there's no blueprint for how to navigate that as a coach, right? It's sadly, it's not too terribly, well, it's not unheard of to have a player within a football program pass away. I mean, we are human beings after all, and that does happen. But this circumstance in particular is, I imagine, internally very difficult to wrestle with, a senseless thing. We're also, I mean, guys, correct me if I'm wrong. I have not seen that there's no answers yet when it comes to, you know, why and who would do something like that. And so not only are they, is it a football team? It's a bunch of young men that are grappling with the reality of life at an age where they shouldn't have to do that, paired with not having any answers yet. It's still just a very sad thing. And one thing that sports and football can do is give you an outlet, right? A galvanization point, things like that. And so hopefully they can find some peace in what they know, which is football. And then the other side of it as well, Lane Kiffin has dealt with a lot personally. He made reference to his mom's passing that was very recent, after his dad passed a year ago. And I mean, he's the kind of football coach, right? That he's a bit larger than life. He's got the history, he's got the nicknames, he's got the drama and all the Twitter and everything that comes with him, right? He's a bit of a quote unquote character in college football. And sometimes you forget that there's a human being behind that character. And he's dealt with a lot lately. And I imagine it's been really tough on him. Breaking news, more at 11, you know, losing your parents is difficult, of course, but having to navigate all that personally. And then right when football's about to start, where I imagine, you know, Lane Kiffin and I aren't friends, we don't hang out, but I imagine somebody that's been in football his whole life would look at the incoming of training camp as, okay, my mom passed, my family's starting to, you know, pick up the pieces and start moving forward together. And here comes football practice and I can just kind of be me again. And then he has a player pass away. It's a lot of loss around him, and you feel for him beyond anything else. So well said all around, and just a deeply sad and humanizing moment. Anyway, the next thing I've got for you is he was asked two questions about the tight end position. One of the most interesting positions on this team. Now, you get Lane Kiffin for 14 minutes today after the first training camp practice, and defensive backs and offensive line-specific questions didn't really exist. That's nuts to me, but, you know, that's a bit hypocritical of me to say because I was not there, but still found that odd. Two questions about tight ends, though, back-to-back, so this is a really good cut about the Luke Haz injury and then moving Caleb Odom over to tight end and the rationale behind that. So here he is talking about tight ends.
At least for the little bit that we were out there today, it looked like Caleb Odom was working with the tight ends a little bit. Do you see him factoring into that room? Do you see him going back and forth this year?
Yeah, I can't totally predict that. he is very unique in what he can do. We did, as you said, move him in there a lot in that area today. And I think that, you know, he's got a chance to be a weapon there. And we do have, you know, probably, I would say, positionally, our best depth on our position, our best depth on our roster would probably be outside receiver, a receiver in general. So him playing there, I think, makes us even more dangerous.
Kind of speaking to that, Lane, in regards to Caleb, did y'all kind of already approach him about that before the Luke Haz thing, or did that kind of add some urgency to making that kind of move?
Yeah, I just said that to our staff. You know, we talk a lot about obstacles the way or of things happening that seem to be issues at the time. It might be, you know, really positive things. And I just said that right before I came down and we were talking about it. Like, maybe that might have been a really good thing. You know, obviously we don't ever want somebody injured, but with that and the numbers outside versus at tight end spot and move him and then get Luke back and then be more dangerous with everybody playing all those spots.
So that's interesting, right? On one hand, they need the depth at the tight end position until Haz comes back. So that's part of it. But also, I mean, quite frankly, when you look at the wide receiver room, and I've got a clip on that here in a second, it's hard to find many opportunities for him at wide receiver on this team between their lack of rotating anyway, but Lee, Stribling, Wallace, and then the West Virginia transfer that they really like, seemingly healthy. There was some questions about whether or not he'd be available for the start of the season, but apparently he was practicing today. Traylon Ray, Deuce Alexander, and then you bring in Cunningham and Watkins, who apparently they really like. Maybe the opportunities at wide receiver just weren't going to present themselves to Caleb Odom. So it kind of struck me as this was the natural this is probably going to be the natural thing anyway, especially at his size, being even if he's still a quote unquote wide receiver that plays closer to the line of scrimmage. It always kind of felt like this was the natural progression regardless of health, but now this just makes a ton of sense. I imagine they're going to try to really use the tight end, possibly do some two tight end sets, help them run the football, help a young quarterback out. So this just made sense, right? You shouldn't be surprised by this. I don't think any of you are. I don't think, based on what you hear, that he was going to get many snaps at wide receiver, if any meaningful ones. So there you go. Just makes all the sense in the world for him to move over to tight end. All right. He was asked about Austin Simmons' relationship with the transfer wide receivers. Here's what Kiffin had to say about that.
Well, they've had a good offseason. They were here in the spring, and, you know, a lot of those receivers have had good careers already, very prolific receivers. And so those guys have done a really good job together. And I'd like to I hope I'm not wrong, you know, very well could be the strength of our team.
Yeah, and it feels like, I mean, we've talked about it a lot throughout the summer. You guys have commented on it a lot. And it's true. I would bet right now that the biggest strength on this team in 2025 is the wide receivers. Every time you go back and look at some of the things that Stribling was able to do at Oklahoma State, you just absolutely love it. Wallace is so experienced, and he played with a pretty brutal quarterback, in my opinion. I don't know where he gets that NFL love, but anyway, they have depth, they have experience, they have guys that have produced at the highest level in college football, and there's a real chance that this group is much better than the one that they had a year ago. But this is the clip I was most excited to play for you guys tonight. This one phrase stood out to me a little bit. I'm sure you guys, I mean, you see it in the title, and you'll hear it here. This was part of Lane Kiffin's opening statement.
I think that this team needs to really have a blue-collar mindset to outwork people and to grind people out in games. So we've been working on that, and it's an exciting group of kids coming together.
So blue-collar is not something that I have heard very often from Lane Kiffin. And I think part of that, of course, is a football cliche. Like, oh, we're going to be a blue-collar football team. We're going to push people around and run the football. And all coaches say stuff like that, right? But that stood out to me the most because I don't think he's talking about his entire team, to be honest with you. I think defensively, they were blue-collar. They were every collar defensively last year. They were tough, physical, fast, athletic, everything. Like, they had it all defensively last year. They were soft on offense. That was a soft football team. That is the perfect adjective to describe them a year ago when things were good, when things were humming, man, were they great. But when things were a little bit tough, they folded. They couldn't run the football. So that's a toughness issue. They were really bad in short yardage. That's a toughness issue. Mentally, I mean, love Jackson Dart and what he did at Ole Miss, but and he became a first-round pick. There's a lot of talent potential there. But the emotions after the LSU game, after the Florida game, they were not a mentally tough offensive football team a year ago. When they struggled, they really struggled, and it's almost like they couldn't snap themselves out of it. There was a softness to that team a year ago. And talking about blue-collar is something that every football coach does, but it sounds like there's some intent behind that more so than just your typical coaching cliche. It strikes me as a coaching staff that has looked back on the 2024 season and looked at a football team that was soft on offense, mentally and more importantly, physically soft on offense. It's something that they have to fix. We've talked about it a ton. I think you should be encouraged hearing that from your head coach, but that's just me. All right, we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered. If you're a Mississippi business, and I mean anywhere, and you need technology in the office, and I mean anything, check them out, absms.com. Tell them I sent you. Get a complimentary office technology assessment. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. All right, so more Lord of the Rings talk tonight is the first comment. Yes, sir, absolutely. Trying to eat dinner, and my Springer Spaniel is right on me begging for something. So what I did with these two, because there's another one too, but she's laying in the other room. We had the baby gate, obviously for the baby, and he's no longer a baby. So a couple years ago, took the gate down, and the dogs, like that became an invisible barrier. And sometimes they still cross it, but it just got ingrained in them that I can't go past this line. And so the kitchen is just, the dogs don't go in there. So we eat in peace because they think that even though the baby gate's taken down, that they're not allowed to cross the line where the baby gate was. It's amazing. Totally unintentional. I'm not some kind of dog training expert. None of that stuff. It's just they once the gate came down, they didn't try to go past the line that the gate was on, and suddenly I'm a genius. Not saying he will be like him, but a quick glance at Austin Simmons in practice just reminds you of Tua. Yeah, and I'm one of those people, I eat up the practice videos. I love them. I love looking at them. I love watching them. I think that they are all awesome. Anything related to football practice, I enjoy and I consume. Yeah, man, he's fluid. He's really, really fluid and so athletic. You can see why people are just obsessed with him, because he looks the part. Shekhi Mills-Knight looks huge. They are definitely, the size at the running back position is much better than what they were able to present a year ago. I mean, don't forget, Henry Parrish was having a really good season before he got hurt, but he was small. And then Matt Jones, who was getting RB2 carries, very small, right? Bentley, when they allowed him to play, not a big guy either. The running back room is much different size-wise this year than it was a year ago. Do I think even with the concerns at offensive line, they can really improve the running game? Last year, they only ran the ball effectively in one SEC game. I do. I do think that the concern now doesn't mean problem later. Like, maybe they are better at running the football. Maybe they're worse. Maybe they're better up front on the offensive line. Maybe they're worse. I'm just not going to be – I've told you guys this before, said it on the radio show. I know it's like – it's bad radio, right, to do the we'll see, but I don't find it appropriate to do any kind of hyping about improvement on the offensive line until they show it, because last year they should have been much better than they were, and they were not. And I'm not falling for that again. So I'm not going to – knock them either. It's just going to be, we'll talk September 7th. Well, I guess we'll talk post-game on September 6th, right? We'll do post-game. So we'll talk on September 6th about what that is and what that looks like. Until then, we'll see is going to be my approach with the offensive line. But yes, they can be better, and they can run the football better, and maybe they can use tight ends more in a quick passing game, stuff like that to – but they've got to be better at running the football. They have to, and it sounds like they know it. College training camp needs to be more like the NFL, more fan-friendly, 100 times more interesting than college training camp. Absolutely, 100%. I rant about it all the time. I think I did it last time or two episodes ago, so I'll spare you guys again tonight. But not many people go to the open practices, a few thousand at every NFL camp. But those are people that go and connect with and love the team. And then the people that don't go consume it all online. And they see it. And they see the team drills and their new rookie quarterback throwing touchdowns. And they get excited. And it gives them a chance to engage. The way this is set up, I mean, Ole Miss is only allowing 3 minutes of video. And it has to be certain, like, it's just, you're not doing yourselves any favors connecting with your people by doing that. And this isn't spring practice. The portal's closed. Players can't transfer right now. So that's not an excuse either. I get shutting down spring practice in the spring game. I disagree with it, but the rationale makes sense. It doesn't here. If the it won't come from the individual schools. Like Florida State's completely shutting down their camp. And, you know, I read OutKick and it was like, you're not missing anything. It's like Florida State fans are missing something. Why don't they matter? Why don't the fans matter anymore? Just shut up and get to the games, guys. Just shut up and pay your money and go to the games, and you will learn nothing and like it. I disagree with that approach. I think it's ultimately going to be a problem down the road, but I said I wouldn't rant on it. Here I am. Patience on offense is something we maybe haven't talked about as much. Multiple games last year where that could have been a difference. Kentucky, LSU, and Mississippi State games, for sure they got antsy. Mm-hmm. And this team, you hope, is still able to trust their defense the way that they could a year ago. I don't think they're going to be as good. I don't think that's really going out on a limb. But I expect them defensively to still be quite good. The Georgia game and the second half of Oklahoma were examples of taking what the defense gave them and moving the ball well. Yeah, so I think offensively they played six complete games offensively. The four non-conference, but those don't count. Throw them away. Arkansas, they were brilliant for four quarters. And I thought the Georgia game they played, that was a really nice offensive game. They knew that their defense was going to keep them in it. It was really risk-averse. They didn't take they didn't take risks on fourth downs. They kicked more field goals because they knew they weren't going to get scored on. I like the analytic approach when you've got a defense that you can't trust. What was it? Was it the 2021 game in Tuscaloosa? Was it 2021 where they went for it a ton and everybody got mad? You weren't stopping Alabama that day. You had to maximize every single one of your offensive possessions. Just punting the football away six times in the first half was going to get you beat. So I like that they went for it because they knew they weren't going to stop Alabama. They had to go score as much as they can. Didn't have to against Georgia because defensively you were good enough. So I thought that they played good offense for four quarters that rainy day. Otherwise, you're right. Say Odom's going to be a decent tight end. Probably not what Haz was going to be, but still a big body that can catch well. We'll see. I mean, he's got to produce something at some point. You know, we'll see. I mean, don't write the book on a young player like him either. But heard good things about Trace Bruckler from New Mexico. Apparently, they like him too. See, I don't. Again, this is all just guessing because we don't know and we can't see that the Odom move to me. I think, I'm just guessing, but it strikes me as something for 2026 more so than it is for 2025, personally. Make the prediction now that Caleb Cunningham is not a big contributor this year, so then that raises questions of will he be Caden Lee or Aiden Williams? Mississippi receivers have busted lately. I don't think he'll play all that much. They do not rotate receivers very often. He did not go through spring, and they're very talented in front of him. I know he was a five-star talent, too. I get it, but they're talented and experienced in front of him. It's okay that he doesn't play a lot this year. The problem with Aiden Williams is when he was given opportunities, not just one time, he didn't know what to do. That was what was holding him back, is the inability to execute. And so they're not going to play you if they don't think you can be in the right place. Caleb Cunningham's year is also, that's another 2026 thing. I think right now it's just getting him acclimated to college, stuff like that. Again, not going through spring. He just recently joined the team. It's different for the guys that joined in January versus a guy, especially in a very crowded position that his coach just gushed over, which is something he doesn't do in a press conference. So it's more likely Stribling becomes Trey Harris, A.J. Brown, or Caden Lee becomes Elijah Moore. I think it's more likely Stribling becomes Trey Harris, A.J. Brown, and Caden Lee becomes like a clear but good wide receiver too. Does bigger, faster, stronger include the offensive line? Everybody got better. Every single player looks great, runs great, is great. There's nothing. Everything's awesome out there. Thought Mississippi State owned the trademark on blue-collar football team. If you have the worst defense possibly in the history of SEC football, you lose that moniker at least for a little while. Don't see Caden taking a step back by any means, and the ceiling for Caleb is huge. I don't think, I don't think that, Caden Lee is going to take a step back to anybody. I don't foresee Caleb Cunningham playing meaningful snaps barring injuries. Maybe the blue collar thing means he feels good about his ground game. We'd hope so. Should feel good about it. All the running backs are over 200 pounds. That was half the equation last year. They were basically running the Hugh Freeze 2014 offense. Fact is that 2014 isn't a bad comparison to them last year. Not really. A lot of back and forth about the Browns in the comments. I'll just kind of leave that to you guys. That's okay. Henry Parrish outside the fumble at LSU was a great player who got run into the ground. Yeah, his body type, I don't think was built for the way they used him. Guess they could be worse, like how Oklahoma was, but are they really going to be worse than last year's offensive line? Because that was just bad. And when Pounds and Williams are healthy, you know what they've got. I mean, there's an opportunity for them to be fine on the offensive line. There's a chance that they are better at center. I would probably bet on that. There's a chance that they're better at guard with the new portal additions, if that's the route they go. And there's a chance that Williams and Pounds are healthy all season long. Just going to keep putting a ton of qualifiers on the offensive line. A lot of teams are weak on the O-line. They are. Texas was awful there last year, and their schedule and defense carried them through. That's what should have happened to Ole Miss last year. You know, LSU and Georgia were the two worst teams at running the ball in the SEC last year. LSU was dead last. And both of them underachieved relative to expectations, which Georgia's expectations are insane. But to the fans matter more than anything. Tell the schools that, because they don't seem to think so. I was talking to someone about the kicker position. Caden Davis had a good leg, but he missed chip shots against LSU in Florida. I'll excuse the Kentucky miss because he shouldn't have been in that spot. Missing field goals inside 35 yards is unacceptable. Yeah, and that's the thing. That's what the concept. And I saw it, but we talked about it here in this chat, and gosh, on the radio show, I mean, our text line was flooded with, take the points, take the points, take the points. That is assuming, like when you say that, you're implying that the field goal is guaranteed, right? That when you say take the points, that means you're getting them when you kick the ball. And Ole Miss last year was not guaranteed points when they kicked the football. That they just simply weren't, and that they had to get better at kicker, and we'll see if they did, because it was not that simple. Will I be at the Super Talk event in Hattiesburg? Absolutely, I will. 100%. Yes. Yeah. It's Richard just tags along with some of the stuff we do sometimes. He can't fully let go of sports, that Richard Cross, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him, but he's just kind of, he's like a guest of ours now every so often. But yes, I'll be there. And I'm really looking forward to it. We'll be at Ed's on, let me tell you, we'll be in Oxford for 2 days next week. But I think one of them like you guys can't go. And that's the one on Tuesday at the Children's Advocacy Center. That is not something that that we will ask you to come to. Wednesday will be in Oxford at the library. And again, for some reason, Richard will be there. I'm kidding. I'm excited that Richard will be there. I enjoy his company. But we've got stuff to give away, and not like typical radio giveaway. I'm talking like Genteel, like Ole Miss branded Genteel stuff. There's the possibility that I don't want to say what it is yet, but let's just say you could win something that has four wheels, stuff like that on Wednesday of next week. So come see us. It'd be great. More likely to happen, Ole Miss loses to one of the first four teams, or State loses to Southern Miss. State loses to Southern Miss, a lot more likely. Kentucky fans think they're going to beat Ole Miss. Can you blame them? They did it a year ago. Even with the shortcomings, they have a better kicker. They go 10-2 at least, probably 11-1. If Ole Miss has a better kicker, yes, because I would think that they would approach things differently. But so you can win a Tesla? Not quite a Tesla, no. Although now YouTube's going to demonetize me for mentioning that. But no, not quite a Tesla, but we'll see. To be honest, this season's almost a complete unknown. New quarterback and a ton of new players. Kiffin, with an E, has built a great track record. Just picking on you. But I will not be shocked. Anything between 7-5 and 10-2. I actually will be surprised at 7-5. Just they have maintained a level of stability and standard that they have not fallen back to a five loss season. And I mean, 39 wins in 4 years is not nothing. So to just say, because they did kind of a roster turnover thing going into 2022 and they didn't crash out then. So I wouldn't expect to crash out now either. So anyway, I got to run, guys. I appreciate you being here as always. We'll be back on Thursday, just like we are now. Next week is going to be all jacked up because of this. The next few weeks are going to be jacked up schedule-wise. So Tuesday of next week, I'm going to record something from Oxford and post it for you, hopefully with a couple of guests. And then the week after, that like this is our schedule. This is our radio show remote schedule next week. Oxford on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. We are in Starkville on Wednesday, the 13th. In Sturgis on Thursday, the 14th for the bike rally. And then we are in Hattiesburg on Wednesday, the 20th. And at Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College on the 21st, we are in Senatobia on the 25th, and Oxford on the 28th. So, yeah. Do we know anything about who could possibly get the Chucky Mullins jersey? Ooh, that's a good question. Who could get that? Who would get the Chucky Mullins jersey this year? I mean, is it Daugherty, who they brought to media days? Is it Perkins because of just how incredibly productive he is? I don't know that answer. That's a good question. I do not know who that's going to be. So I would assume Daugherty, all things considered. So anyway, I appreciate you guys. I'll just update you. Keep the notifications on, so you know when we go live. But the radio show schedule being what it is this month, will ruin some live streams later on. Not this Thursday though. I'll see you guys then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.